Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another regular, welcome back to the premier regular season episode of the Moncton Wildcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. As always, I am your host, Adam, and again, I am joined by your favorite co-hoster and mass singer aficionado, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. Mr. Boucher, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Great to be back in the hockey rink, and obviously didn't get the results we were hoping for, but we will get to that.
We didn't quite get the results,
but you know, nice to be back in the rink, and we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts.
Again, we'll get to that in just a little bit as well. Yeah, back in the rink. Obviously, I'm not going to say things were a little different. Things were a lot different. Your first, I guess, initial thoughts on the whole thing.
The whole thing was, other than my argument with the one of the members of the Avenir Center security staff, it was good. Yeah. It was, I think, well laid out. They really have it, you know, everything you come to expect. One thing I was surprised by is that, you know, you go to the washroom and it's not, you know, one urinal open, one closed, one
right.
urinal open,
yeah.
one closed, one sink open, one closed. It's all wide open. So that was kind of the only thing that kind of caught me by surprise, because everywhere you go, you know, it's like, you know, one's open, one closed. One, and
yeah.
I was just, okay, that's different. And it was, you know, everybody was wearing masks. I don't think I heard a single person complain about having to wear a mask. You can take them off when you sit down.
I think that's a big thing. If you had to wear them while you're sitting down, it'd be
I'm not sure.
Tough.
Do you do that in Halifax? Because I know it's mandatory masks in Nova Scotia in indoor venues.
Right.
So do they have to wear them for the entire game? I don't know if that's legit or not, but I know mandatory masks are coming here in New Brunswick, probably by next week. So who knows? Maybe we'll have to wear them the entire game for all we know, which will suck. But that's just the life we live in.
Yeah.
Other than that,
now you say you get in an argument with a security guard, and I'm guessing you've gotten the same type of little argument I got. I'm with you. I think, you know, everything was done well. It was laid out. A couple things. Tim Hortons probably shouldn't be taking cash during a pandemic. I mean, come on, it's 2020. You can take debit. The other thing, 50-50 taking cash. Like, why can I not pay debit? You know, I'm pretty sure there's an app that the Wildcats could have on their phone, like, to give the holders an app to pay, like an Apple Pay type app, because, you know, it's one of the things that I, like, there's not the 50-50 people walking around because COVID, but yet we got to come find you and pay for cash. So just those little things. But now I'm in 121. You are too.
Yes.
I went out the one entrance, 120, 121, went out, got a pop and a beer, and I came back against the grain, literally inside the fence, and went right to my section. And as I was coming back to it, the security guard literally came running over and was like, and I'm like, my section's right here. They're like, okay. Did you have that same problem?
Yeah, so exact same problem. I was, I think I went to the washroom, and it was like literally maybe 10 feet away from where it had to,
right,
where the section entrance was. And so I went in the opposite direction for that 10 feet, and the security guard just immediately stopped. Literally, he got probably within 6 inches of my face. I felt very uncomfortable. and he said, you got to walk around. I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. You know, I'm literally just going right here. This wasn't in the intermission,
right,
when people are, you know, walking around.
This was
literally with 10 minutes left in the, you know, second period, when there was nobody on the mezzanine. I had 10 feet in front of me, 10 feet behind me. You know, I had
so much room for activities.
I had so much room. I had so much room to move. And he still said, you got to go, you walk around. Look, I'm all about, you know, fitness and getting my steps in. But, I mean, come on. You're making me walk all around the entire building.
Yeah.
When I can literally just go 10 feet to my right. And he was like, where are you going? I said, 121, right here. And he's like, okay, I'll let you go this time, but it's not happening again. I said, how are you going to recognize me like in the future? So it was very, very different just because of how close he got to my face.
Right. We're not harping on the security guards. They got a job to do. And if they let one person go, but in the intermission, all right.
Yeah.
But
the one thing I didn't like is that literally at the same time I was walking in the other direction.
Yeah.
Some other person was walking in the other direction. He was going further than I was. So, and this was an older gentleman. So I don't know if he was, I don't know. He saw that I was young and wanted to, you know, try to intimidate me with his presence because he's a security guard and not flag down the older gentleman. It was just very, very, very strange. And I mean, I understand there's rules, but at the same time, don't make me walk all the way around the arena when I can go three steps to my right and be where I need to be.
Yeah.
That's especially when it's not an intermission and there's literally nobody on the concourse. Have some courtesy.
Because you're eventually going to get to people. Okay, no problem. They're going to go to the right. They're going to go the way they're supposed to.
Mm.
Go to the next section. Go halfway down and walk through all the empty rows.
Yeah.
To get back to their seats.
Exactly.
Instead of,
and
right?
And I went to the washroom during the period for the sake of not being around so many people during the intermission.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to walk all the way around the arena. And by the time I did that, the period would have been over and I would have been surrounded by people. So just very, very, very difficult, very strange.
Yep. No, it's all a work in progress for them. But for the most part, it was great to be back in the rink, but just a couple of things as well as programs. Cause the program's right at the top of the stairs, and if you forget and you're halfway through and you're like, oh, I need a program, you got to walk all the way around. So it'd be nice if the programs were also at some of the 50-50 stations so that if you don't forget, you don't have to walk all the way around the arena. But, you know, some other news we get to talk about before we get into the main show. Again, if you don't want to be spoiled, just hit the mute button for 3 to 4 minutes. All right, Masked Singer last week, Group B kicked off. You've got Crocodile, Serpent, Baby Alien, which is one of the coolest costumes, Seahorse, Gremlin, and Whatchamacallit. Before I get to any of your out there guesses, I have no idea about anybody. Layla thinks Crocodile is Tim Tebow. Florida Gator. Gator, Crocodile throws it off. There was some lanterns in the thing that were footballs. Italy, he signed with an Italian football team. She was looking up, so her guess out of the box, Tim Tebow is Crocodile. That's where she's at.
Hey, okay. I don't even have Crocodile on my list here. So maybe I must have. Is he the first singer?
Yeah, he was the first one to pink Crocodile. So.
Okay, that'd be why. Okay, so Baby Alien.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people are saying Jeff Dunham because it kind of looks like
puppet.
a puppet ventriloquist. Another one I thought might have been Darcy Lynn, but it's obviously a male's voice, so it's not Darcy Lynn. Another one could be Terry Fader, who was also on America's Got Talent as a ventriloquist.
Mm-hmm.
However, my guess for the Baby Alien is Dave Coulier from Full House.
Oh,
because he had that woodchuck character on the show.
Yeah.
There was some other things that were popping into my head.
Well done.
That's made me think of Dave Coulier.
Cut it out.
Exactly. Right. So that's kind of where I'm going with it.
Right.
So my guesses would either be, I think Terry Fader or Dave Coulier for the Baby Alien.
Yeah. The Gremlin was not so much voted out as he took off his mask. It was Mickey Rourke. He saved everyone the vote because he was going out anyways. He couldn't sing. He was an actor. He starred in The Wrestler. So a lot of clues towards that. But like I said last week, it's so hard in that first week. Unless, like, I see a definitive clue, making guesses, I like to wait at least 2 weeks. But, Crocodile is Tim Tebow. I was like, you know what? That's not a bad guess. I'll go with that one until I see some more clues. So
I also think is it the Seahorse?
Yep.
The Seahorse is 110% Carrie Underwood. 110. Like, I can put $20 on it and say it's Carrie Underwood right now.
Really?
Yeah. There was so many notes that she hit that was, it's just her voice. You can right. tell it's her voice. And if it's not Carrie Underwood, I'll be shocked. I'll
okay. be shocked. All right. So yeah, so one of them was eliminated. So next week we'll get into Group C and then continue on Group A, B, and as follows. So, that's it for our Masked Singer update. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, on Instagram, Wildcat Podcast, and now via the website, wildcastpodcast.wixsite.com. It's going to be a good show. So let's get at it. Quick question. First weekend in the books, in the queue, but more in the Maritime Division, I guess. What is your biggest takeaway from the games in the Maritime Division, Jeremy?
Fans. Yeah. But let me just say this first. I mean, there's been some fans on Twitter that have been complaining about the quality of the webcasts.
Yeah.
I think it's been excellent.
I haven't watched the game yet.
I think there was a vast improvement on the quality. Some Quebec fans were saying that it was terrible. It's worse than last year. I'm like, what webcasts are you watching? Like, I think it's, they must have Bell Internet, right? Because it's
Hey-o.
So I think it's been super. I think it's been superb. Bathurst has been a surprise. You know, that comeback win against St. John in the first game, and then you know, beating Moncton on Sunday, and Halifax looks incredible, which is tough to say. They look young. Every time you turn around, they're hyping up their LaRue and Denoyer on social media.
As they should.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's the Sea Dogs.
Yeah.
Just, all the hype warranted, you know, rookies, this was their year. It's not their go-for-it year, but it's the year that they should dominate this division. Yeah, it's early, but they start 0-2. They blow the lead to Bathurst. I think the biggest part there was Patineau played, not Creed Jones. So obviously, you know, not obviously, I guess, but it feels like they were taking Bathurst lightly. That came back to haunt them. They lost 6-5 to Charlottetown. I think they got down 3-4-0. So they were able to battle back. Charlottetown looks like the real deal. You've predicted them to win not only the division but the league. So I guess early on, it's those two stories. I mean, St. John blowing a lead and losing to the Islanders, and then the Islanders, you know, they got down against Moncton, but they showed why they are, you know, going to be one of the top two teams.
They showed on Friday night that they're going to be dominant, and they work so hard. It's just a Jim Halton team.
Yep.
They don't give up. Like I said, they're just a couple moves away. And I think if they can get those two moves by at the, you know, Christmas deadline, I'll be happy with my pick. I didn't pay more. I didn't watch many other games, but, Pelche is.
He had 4 points in his first game.
Not bad.
Something like that.
Yeah, so that was expected, right?
Yeah.
I think last week the three of us, thought he was going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
So that's no surprise. But yeah, let's, I guess, locally, work to do.
Yeah,
there's some work to do.
We're going to get into that in just a little bit, but let's get to some main news that dropped on Monday.
News and notes from around the league.
It happened. It was likely to happen. We all didn't want it to happen, but we weren't naive to it. The QMJHL put a pause on activities in the red zone in Quebec. Or I guess the QMJHL didn't. The Quebec government did, which meant a pause on games in October for the Armada and the Rampart. And then around 4 or 5 o'clock Atlanta time on Monday, we found out that a player from the Armada had COVID, which means they're shut down, which means Sherbrooke closed activities. So, you know, this doesn't seem like it should affect the Maritimes. Games should be going on, but again, it has to at some point affect them. And Mr. Courteau talked about this is why we gave the league a little bit of runway when the rest of the leagues weren't starting till December. But, you know, I don't know what this means in terms of, does the East Division just stop? I think it's the East, or is it the West? The West Division. Does the West Division just all pause, and the East and the Maritimes gets to keep going, and they get to remake these games in the West. Do you just take those three teams out and the other teams play? Like, you know, what is this for you?
I mean, we're obviously doing quite well here in the Maritimes. I just hope they don't punish our division.
And again, we're recording this Monday, so there may be news by the time this comes out today.
Yeah. So I just hope they don't punish us.
Yeah.
I would love to see our season, you know, continue. I'd love to be able to be watching hockey next weekend. But these two teams can't get, well, three teams now, really, right? Because it's Blainville, it's Quebec,
and it's Sherbrooke. Two inside the red division, the red zone, which is Blainville and Gatineau. Blainville and Gatineau. No, who is it?
Blainville and Quebec got shut down.
Quebec, yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, I guess it affects all three divisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. I was thinking it was Gatineau for some reason.
Yeah.
Nope, never mind.
So it's... I mean, we can't, how long or how far back can we, you know,
push it?
How long can we wait till these games are continuing? Does this give the Maritime teams a break for these other two teams to catch up? I don't know. Are they going to shorten the season and say, okay, well, this part of your schedule is now erased to allow these teams to catch up? You know, who knows? This is so premature.
Because it's competitive balance, right? Like if the Quebec teams have to shut down and we're still playing, well, are we in an advantage or a disadvantage because other teams are getting rest? Like it's just,
I don't know.
You got to believe it's such a tough spot, the whole league.
Yeah, it's such a tough spot right now. It was only a matter of time. I think when we said October, when they talked about October as a start date, he kind of got excited, but at the same time they were always talking about the second wave that could be worse than the first. And I mean, the numbers in Quebec are worse than they've had. I mean, something like almost 1200 cases, and man, I think that's a higher amount than they had in February, March, April, May. Just a crazy situation right now. And I still want to be able to go watch hockey. That's what I mean. I don't want us to be punished for the situation in Quebec, but at the same time,
we're in the Quebec League.
If
they're going to shut down.
Yeah. So it's difficult. It's a very difficult position to be in. At the same time, you kind of have to respect what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Do they say, all right, well, let's just halt everything and start back up December when the OHL and the WHL get going, and then we just are back on even terms, right? So that might be a conversation that they have with, you know, with the OHL commissioner and the WHL commissioner. That's something that could make sense. It would suck to be on the sidelines again for 2 months.
Because then you're almost at a point where, what are you doing with these kids? Like, are they just...
They got to stay in school.
They stay in school, so they stay here.
I wouldn't,
are they not allowed to work out? Are they not allowed to skate? Are you not, like...
Well,
you close everything, and then you open up training camp again? Like...
Well...
You know what I mean?
I mean, I wouldn't put it that way. I mean, obviously, they're not going to send the kids home to Ontario.
No.
They're not going to send the kids home to Quebec.
No.
They're going to keep them here where they're safe. They're going to probably still do their homeschooling, because I don't think any of them are going to school right now. They're all being at this, you know, homeschools. You know, still practice, you know, do your scrimmages, maybe play exhibition games against the Maritime teams and stuff like that, just to stay in shape. Who knows, man? Like, this is crazy. It's such a weird situation to be in. That's the only thing way I see it working out is putting things on hold for 2 months, line your season back up with the OHL and the WHL if they're actually able to get going.
And that's the thing. We don't even know if they're going to be able to get going, right?
And then keep your kids here, keep the teams here, you know, have your practices, have your scrimmages, stay in shape, organize exhibition games, you know, whether it be, you know, follow your same schedule, but it's exhibition games where they, you know, just, they don't count.
Yeah.
So
it's a heck of a preseason.
Keep the schedule the way it is, yeah. But these games are exhibition games instead of regular season games. If things shut down, it's the only way I think that works, because you gotta. This only gives an advantage to the Maritime teams, I think, because you're gonna have teams that are, you know, if that's the way they go. This is
right.
Just me, you know, throwing ideas.
The old
in my
what
head.
If?
Yeah, it's just me throwing ideas in my head. You know, I was right about them saying the Maritime teams are gonna be playing the Maritime teams, so maybe I'm right about this too. Who knows?
Right.
But by golly, you know, look, by the looks of the Cleveland Browns, I should have picked them to win the Super Bowl this year. But it's such it's fluid. It's still premature. Things are happening every minute. We'll obviously have more information on about next week.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about hockey next week is another question. So let's, I don't know if anybody from the queue is listening, maybe take my suggestion. You know, bring it to the higher ups, because I mean, to me, I think it's okay. I think it's an okay situation. I mean, don't send the players home. Keep them here. Keep them safe.
You can't send them home.
No,
like you. So that would be 16 games. The Wildcats have 16 games in October, November. I think the WHL and the OHL are lining up to play December 2nd. So I mean, that would start if it's shut down. That means Moncton would start their season in Halifax on December 4th. You know, I'm sure the organizations obviously don't want that. Their ticketing offices don't want that, because it's 16 games. You got a refund because it's not regular season. It doesn't count. So I can see teams not wanting that. But it's not really about what the teams want. It's about what the league thinks is the best for player safety, especially with kids. This isn't like baseball. This isn't like the NFL, where they're traveling and they're paid professional adults. This is, these are kids. I don't even think you can get into a bubble situation in Quebec, like two rinks close, and just keep kid, like move all six teams to two cities, three and three, keep them in a hotel, do all their schooling, just play at the rink. I mean, maybe that's a situation they look at, but even then, a couple teams can't travel outside of the red zone. So how do you even get those?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might be able to, but yeah, it's not a fun situation.
No, it's really
fun.
Not. It's really not. But you know,
we all hoped it wasn't coming. But
yeah,
we weren't naive to think it wasn't going to.
It was only a matter of time. But you know what? It was. You just have to go with it, and that's just part of the life we're in right now. Just go with it, and you know, just respect the decisions that are being made, and just hope that you know, we can get through this season. Because I mean, another thing is we start in December. You play what, four games, then it's Christmas break.
Yeah,
and
yeah, something like that.
Because are the players going to get to go home for Christmas?
Because it's four games and it's trade deadline.
That's it. Like,
so they would play one Halifax, St. John, Bathurst, Cape Breton, Charlottetown. They'd end on the 19th. So two,
and then
four,
that's your
six
break.
Games. That's your break.
And then your players are home for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not even 2 weeks.
So if you're an organization like Charlottetown, Val-d'Or, St. John, you got six games to figure out if you're going all in. I mean, you already know you are, but six games to figure out who you're going all in. What does the trade deadline look like if Quebec is still in this situation? And, I mean,
it almost makes you think if they're just going to say, see you back January 4th, figure it out. Like, that would suck.
Yeah.
I mean, we've waited around long enough for hockey. Now you
got two games, just whet the appetite enough.
They got to wait around 3 months.
I feel really bad for Islanders fans, because most fans in the Maritime Division got to see their team at home.
Yeah.
And if, you know, they shut down, this was supposed to be Charlottetown's home opening weekend, so maybe we'll be lucky enough to get one more weekend of hockey, allow them to see their fans. But this thing shuts down before next weekend. You know, it sucks to be the Islanders who waited so long to find out if they're going to get into the rink, finally got it situated, and then don't get to play. But it's not really a fun situation that we want to talk about, but we have to, and it's a reality of where we're living in now. So, yeah, we don't know a whole lot. We've kind of talked about what we do know. So stay tuned to our social medias and everybody that you follow anyways in the queue, because, you know, they're going to keep you up to date as this thing's changing all the time. Let's get into some happy news, but let's get to the Weekly Rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
Wildcats kicked off their 25th season this past weekend, and let's just say it wasn't the best start and or outcomes they were looking for. Friday night, they kicked it off against the Islanders, come out like hotcakes, full of adrenaline, full of piss and vinegar, full of whatever you want to call it for the first, I'll give them 20 minutes. Got out to a 2-0 lead on goals from rookie Vincent Labelle, his first and second of the year. Got up 2-0, then Thomas Casey on a breakaway through the 5-hole with about a minute left, which, like I said on the Instacast Live, something that DLC is going to want back. It was 2-1. Then it was all Islanders for the rest of the game. Just kind of showed why they are a top team in this division.
Yeah, the first period was good. The first Islanders goal was late in the first, I think.
A minute left.
Yeah, that was the backbreaker. At that point, it was, you know, the Wildcats going to the dressing room, you know, a little deflated because they played great. Islanders are jacked up, and, you know, they come back in second period, and it was just dominating. So that was a backbreaker. But, you know, it was obvious there was... When I walk out of the rink and say to myself that Jacob Stewart had a better game than Jordan Spence, that Francis Langlois had a better game than Philip Daou,
yep.
It's not good.
No.
Not good. And that's how I felt. And so that's a game where your veterans had to be better. I guess it's a young team. And... you know, the young players feed off the energy that's brought by the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. And, you know, like it's...
By any of them.
Nope.
I think Hudson was the only one that gave a little bit of a... Had something. He's trying to make something happen. Didn't really work out.
Could have had a fight with Ben Boyd, but the refs, you know, decided to step in there.
You're going to give him a 15-minute penalty. At least let them throw hands. Now they both took way too long to get something going, and both players know that if you're gonna fight, you better fight quickly. But it was, who was the hit on, do you remember? Because Hudson went after Boyd for a hit, and it was on 15. A lot of new names, and I can't think of it right off the top of my head. I think it was Kluche. I think he hit Kluche, and that's why Hudson went after him, and that's why he's your captain. And but it's just tough to see them get ready to go, and then they get 10 minutes for taking off their gloves and staring at each other.
Yeah. Oh, COVID. That game just really frustrated me. Because I went to the rink, you know, expecting a better effort, and I didn't get it.
Right. Got it in the first period.
You know, it was... you know, it was fun. They came out with the energy they needed to. Where's the big cat?
So I messaged Brent's mom about that on the second game. They got to stay in the dressing room. So then they come out that shorter walk to the to the door, because once they leave the dressing room, there's a whole another standing in line and all this stuff. So cleaning the cat all the time. It's all the new protocol. So they just got to come right out of the bench.
Clean the cat. Just take it to the vet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did not set him up for that. That was well done. Yeah, that's pretty much why. I'm guessing that's why they don't come out for the 3 stars either, or the hardest worker. The Islander, it was a weird start. I mean, we did the intros, sang the Canadian anthem, and the Islanders were barely out there before the anthem was sung. That was bad. You got to give them a chance to get out there.
Yeah, they didn't time that very well.
No.
They were like... you know, Charlie Owens was already belting out, you know, the chorus, and you know, they were just getting out on the ice. That was
Ellis
weird.
Is trying to stretch. Like, you could see players coming off the bench, the starters, like, one, like, oh, I'm a starter. I got to get out there for the song. Maybe the Islanders thought they were going to raise the banner for the division championship last year.
I think maybe they thought the ceremonies would be longer.
Maybe.
Right? And that's, they just weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, again, part of what we're going through right now. Just, I think the veterans, obviously, we're going to get to Sunday's game.
Yeah.
I think if the veterans would have been more, if they would have had a better performance, that game is different.
It was very Islanders hockey.
Oh,
like,
it was.
Stay
it
in
was,
it. And that first period, they hit everything that moved.
Yeah.
And oh, you got 13 rookies on your team? Cool. We're going
to
hit them.
Welcome to the queue.
Welcome to the queue and hit them over and over. And I think, like I said on the live right after, they came out in the first period. You said it. The goal by Casey was a backbreaker, and all their energy got taken out by the hits. And that goal, they went into the intermission, and that was all she wrote. They were on their heels. I was very surprised to see 6 shots in the third. I thought maybe they had 2, because every time I looked up there, it was still 18. It was still 18. So I was quite shocked that they had 6 shots. But that's the type of game you're going to see from the Islanders. As we go on, we get to Sunday now, hoping for a little bit better outcome against Bathurst. Obviously, these two teams are very different from last year to this year, last 2 years, I guess. And Bathurst come away with a 2-0 victory. The team was much better in pockets. I think they controlled most of the second period. They had a lot going for them. But like Dan Lacroix said on the Wildcats highlights, I think it was in Neil's article. One missed coverage.
Yeah, it was faceoff.
Yeah, Bennett MacArthur puts it in the back of the net over.
Sniper Bennett MacArthur.
Yeah. Now, I didn't think he sniped it. I thought it was like a floater, but then I rewatched the replay. I was like, no, that was a pretty good backhand.
Yeah.
Over top DLC shoulder. And like I said on the live, Jacob Stewart taking that penalty in the second period, that's just a dumb penalty. That is just a dumb penalty. You have a chance for a power play. Their power play isn't really going, and he takes an absolute useless roughing call, just pushing a guy when he didn't need to get us in a 4-on-4. But it's just, they couldn't get anything going on the power play. It looked discombobulated at times, especially when you pull your goalie, and I can't remember who went offside there. You got a face off the blue line. Your goalie has to go back in net, but it was a better effort in pockets. Not so much a full effort again.
So the Friday game, I thought the veterans didn't show up.
Yeah.
Sunday, the veterans showed up. But I think they did too much, if that makes sense. I think they tried to do too much by themselves. Didn't incorporate the team in their play. I saw, you know, there were certain players like Forche and Daou. They had their speed going in the zone, right? And they would do the little loop behind the net and, you know, kind of just hang on to the puck a little too long, right? Instead of making the simple plays, you just keep it simple.
That's right? Exactly what, yeah. And the simple plays weren't there.
The simple plays weren't there. They were just trying to do too much. So it's really, it was a 1-0 game, right? Because the second goal was an empty netter.
Yeah,
it's a 1-0 game. You can't, you know, there was spurts where they had it, right? And it was just that friggin' goaltender, which, hey,
kudos,
full marks. Yeah. Like, he well positioned. I think a couple of those saves were having a horseshoe up his ass.
The one he got on Hudson.
Oh my god.
Right in the slot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few of those were, you know, were luck, but that's, you gotta be lucky to be good. And you know, I just think, when do they play again? Friday night, Saturday night?
Friday, Saturday against Halifax, St. John.
Yeah, here we go. So just that game against St. John is gonna be huge. Because St. John's gonna want to get that first win. And Moncton's gonna want to get that first win. If they play like they did against St. John in that last preseason game, they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have to play like that every game. And I think they played like that on Sunday. So it's just that's the effort they got to bring.
Take your first period from Friday, take your second period from Sunday.
Yes.
And third period, just pockets of it, like
just put it all together.
Yeah.
Right? And you put it all together and they're going to get a win. That's all. Like that's all they need to do is just put it together. They have the effort, you know, it's not the most dominating lineup, but the work ethic is going to get them to where they need to be. They're going to get wins because of how hard they work.
Yep.
They're going to get wins because of who's behind the bench, and they're going to get wins because Lund Cornish is actually standing on his head. And so they just got to put those factors, you know, those three things together, and it's going to be fine. Like it's people are, I didn't see anybody freaking out, which is good. Because I think I probably would have lost my mind if I saw people.
Oh, you can't freak out at this team.
Oh,
you can't.
It's just
if you do, give your tickets to some kid that deserves them.
They're gonna figure it out. Like it's they're there, right? They have their moments. They just gotta capitalize. Like it's you know, two goals. The only two goals they scored all weekend was like the first 8 minutes of the game Friday.
One was an assist by Ellis. He went out to play the puck, misplayed the puck.
Yeah.
Vince LaBelle turns around, fires it. That's the type of goal that this team's going to score. It had to be there, get the bounce. It's in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. That's a confidence builder. You could see it. They got the next one on the power play. The only power play goal of the weekend is they went 1-for-7. That's something that's once that gets clicking, and like I said, they don't have the McKenna on the side, and you know they don't have that. They got the quarterback in Spence. You know, they got Forchain Dow, but they don't have that shot. But
they have the shot. They had it's Loshing on his off wing.
Right.
They have the shot, and he teed it up at one point on Sunday, and it didn't miss by much.
Like right.
If they're playing him on the power play,
I think he's on the second unit, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
But he's got to be on his off wing.
Yeah.
Because he's like a, I mean, his shot is ridiculous. It's like a Stamkos, you know, Stamkos a righty or a lefty? I think he's a lefty.
Yeah, I think Ovechkin's right handed.
Yeah, Stamkos so he's like a left. Stamkos, like it's on the faceoff and the faceoff dot. Just get the, he's gonna tee up that slapper and he's gonna score a shit ton of goals from right there on the power play. Look, he's another one it's gonna come right and. There's going to be a game where he's going to put up probably 5 points, and that's going to be his breakout. I think once he gets his first goal, it's just going to start falling to him. So
I don't think we'll have one of the rookies will have the Phil Daou type where it's going to take him a while to get going. But once these kids get the first one, they all start flowing and they come a little bit easier. Like you said, full marks to Chad Arsenault, CHL player of the night yesterday, 2 games, 2 goals. I think he was traded, the day before, the day of game, to show up. So full marks to him. I mean, they got a lot of shots on him. Some of them were quality. Some of them were just shots, but it's a work in progress. So looking ahead, like we said, they've got Halifax on Friday and then St. John on Saturday. Man, that Halifax team looks pretty good. They look dialed in. I don't know what to expect from the club. Hopefully they can put a week of practice and have a first period like Friday and a second period like Sunday and see what happens in the third. I want to think that DeYoung is going to get in for one of those forwards because some of the defensive efforts weren't, but, you know, Halifax and St. John, you're going to want a bit of a veteran presence. There was a few times that the veteran players for both Charlottetown and Bathurst were able to get the edge. I think a little bit stronger DeYoung. He makes a difference on the back end, and I think he probably plays this weekend. I was a little shocked to see him out for both. I thought he'd be out for one and in for one. But
well, it's all about the player card situation, right?
That's true.
If it's – teams may not want to burn a player card, so it's crazy to think that you're in a rebuilding year and one of your top four defensemen is sitting out.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. But You know what? We're used to making predictions for weekends and or games.
We're getting good at them.
2 points.
Yeah.
2 out of 4 would be nice.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Whether it's a win or 2 ties or whatever, just give me 2 points. Just get
on the board.
Get something on the board. And because, I mean, as of right now, our predictions look stupid. I mean,
missed it by stupid. That much. Yeah, I think. I'd be interested to see if Sheehan's going to get one of the two. I mean, they're basically playing a university schedule where they're only playing on weekends. So the goalie's got enough rest to get a long break, and DLC's playing quite well. I mean, a couple times there were saves he made that should have been in the back of the net, and it could have been a lot worse. Could have been 4-3-4 nothing by Bathurst. It could have been 6-2 for the Islanders. So he's definitely earning his keep as a 20-year-old overage goaltender, and he's making the saves you need to make. And he's making the saves that no one thinks he should make either.
That's what you need from your starting goaltender. Some people weren't too convinced about having him around.
Yep.
But he's quickly proving them wrong, myself included. How am I going to say this? No, I'm not going to say it. he's proved me wrong.
Yeah. I think of all the goals, I think the only one he wants back is the Casey one.
Yeah.
Through the 5-hole on a breakaway. I think if you asked him of the 5 goals you let in, which one would you want back?
Yeah.
It's that one, and he's been everything we've needed.
Mm-hmm. So if he continues to play like that,
we should get 2 points.
We should be able to get 2 points, and it's even going to it's going to make the decision once Wiston comes into town. It's going to make the decision even harder. Sorry, I got hiccups. do you take Usnik and Lund Cornish? Or do you go Usnik and Sheehan? Do you go, because at that point, if you go Usnik and Lund Cornish, he's still going to get rid of a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
You can't sit DeJong for DeJong. DeJong.
DeJong.
DeJong. Wow. See, I haven't seen him play so long, I forget how to pronounce his name. So
that's why I'm going to TDJ. Yeah, it's much easier.
So I'm just... if you keep Lund Cornish and Usnik, you're still in that 20-year-old situation.
Yeah. But if you don't, you don't know what Usnik is, but you're out of the 20-year-old situation. And
then you're Usnik and Sheehan.
And we don't know what that looks like.
Exactly.
So
because literally, Sheehan could have had a better preseason. And Usnik, I've never seen him play live.
No.
I have no idea what to expect.
But if he's listening, we expect, we think you're a great goaltender, and we're excited to see you play.
Send us some more video.
Yes, exactly. Send us some more videos so we can scout you, so we can tell the fans of Moncton what you're like. But, and who knows, maybe we'll be saved, and the season will start January 4th, and we'll get 4 20-year-olds and be good. But we'll be training them all of them anyways for the second half of the season, so... that's it for the weekly rewind. So let's get to everyone's favorite back again. Everyone's favorite part of the show.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
Not often this award goes to players.
No, I want to say 3-4 times.
Not often this award goes to opposing players.
This has never happened.
First time, folks. I'm going to give the stick tap of the week to Chad Arsenault of the Charlottetown Islanders. He stole the show. If you don't follow midget hockey around this neck of the woods, you probably didn't know who he was. But this is a goalie that's, he's been with the Kensington Wild for a couple of years. I think it might have been with Summerside.
They won the Monctonian, didn't they?
Yeah, but they did. He was lights out in midget. Like, he literally stole tournaments for the Kingston Wild. And I was surprised, tough situation in Charlottetown because, he had Welsh, right. Matt Welsh and Jacob Gooby. And then you had Colton Ellis and Jacob Gooby. And, this guy can play in the league, and he's proving he can play in the league. I think it was funny because there was a post on the Bathurst board that literally described their goaltending situation as a quote-unquote shit show. Because you released Da Silva, you signed a goalie from the from the Ontario Hockey League that has quarantine for 2 weeks, then you're running with Chad Arsenault and Pierre-Vincent Guignard. Like, these are two goalies who, if you don't follow, you know, local hockey, you're like, who the hell are these two?
Yeah.
And Bathurst is going to allow 10 goals a game. No. Like, Chad Arsenault can flat-out play in this league. And, you know, apparently he only signed for 2 weeks as an affiliate.
Oh.
Mark my words, man. He's staying with this team. Like, he's staying with Bathurst, and Guignard can get the kick out, even though it's kind of tough because his dad's one of the owners. But see you, kid. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. See you at the table. You know, go play somewhere else. So once Bednar's here, I think it's Bednar and Arsenault. Just incredible performance. Like, you go in there, and first game you have to play the St. John Sea Dogs.
Traded day of game.
Yes.
I just went back. I couldn't remember if it was the night before or of a day of game. Traded to Bathurst for a ninth round in 2021.
Yeah. So you go in there, and first of all, Guignard was already on the roster. So be like, okay, well, he's starting. No, you're going to start the guy who just got traded to your team and literally is only an affiliate for 2 weeks. Yeah, sure. Let's throw him to the Wolves against the St. John Sea Dogs. Absolutely lights out. Won the game for him. And then friggin' 36 save shutout against the Wildcats on Sunday. Unbelievable debut. You know what? Just a great story too, because it's just one of those ones where came out of nowhere, and he's not a big goalie either. I think he's only like 5'9" or something.
Yeah.
Just remarkable story. So yeah, the first ever stick tap of the week to an opposing player, Chad Arsenault of the Charlottetown Islanders. Also shout out to Halo Donuts on St. George Boulevard. Yeah. Delicious.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the Remax Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
All right, that brings us to the Cat of the Week. It's unsponsored this year, so if you want to sponsor, hit us up in our DMs. Let us know. Leading point getter for the team. Had the first two goals of the season, the only two goals of the season so far this year. You know, we talked about a lot of rookies, you know, Loesching, Olsen, LeBlanc, all in the preseason, and, you know, Connor Richard for obvious. Didn't really talk about Vincent LaBelle a whole lot. He made us change our tune after Friday's game. I don't even think anybody picked him in the live interactive goal scoring.
No,
I can't remember.
No, they didn't.
I can't remember. I think they just gave the thing away. He had two goals, first two goals, 2 points. He was a plus one. He's now an even. Four shots on net in the two games. So for me, the Cat of the Week goes to rookie number 18, Vincent LaBelle. That'll do it for us. That's it. That's all. Hopefully we'll be back next week to recap Mass Singer. Who knows? Maybe we'll just turn this into a Mass Singer podcast in the interim. But we also will be back, hopefully, to talk about the Wildcats' first road trip as they're off to Halifax and St. John this weekend. Yeah. Have a good one. Thanks for your support. Thanks for the download. Enjoy the game.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.